This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, we briefly touched on this in the first hour. Let's talk about a little bit more here in this first segment. Garth Brooks coming to U.S. Bank. Tickets go on sale next week. It is a May 4th show. Number of stadium shows around the country. As Chris Riemenschneider writes in the Star Tribune, so far they have not added second nights. But we've watched this before where many times, not all the time, you add a second night. Okay, we've talked U.S. Bank shows before, the two of us. Dave, have you had a chance to see a concert at U.S. Bank?
No.
No. Do you have any desire to do that?
Boy, it'd have to be somebody I'd really want to see.
Just because of the sound, the spectacle?
The sound.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the sound is what you hear of every show. It's kind of, the review is, well, the show looked good, but...
It just depends where you sit.
Yeah.
It really does, because, an example, Carter and I both saw U2. Hold on a second here.
Well, la-dee-da.
And where we were at...
They gave you the earpieces? Were you that close?
No. Well, you're on stage. No. We're on the floor. And on the floor, it wasn't great. No stadium show is going to be great. But it was good enough for a stadium show. Whereas, Adam, you detested it, right?
Yeah, lower level, but totally opposite end.
Yep.
And it was, it just, the setup was not, the sound was awful. And the setup of their stage setup was not, while it was cool looking, it was not conducive to where they were. You could not,
The distance was...
Like a month before, I saw Guns N' Roses there.
Yeah.
And that actually wasn't that bad.
Right.
I mean, it was so loud. You know, it's rock and roll, so it's just loud. So the sound didn't bother me as much. And they had huge screens where you could see the action. And my seats were pretty much in the same spot. So like Dave's point, if it's a big artist with a cool, you know you're going to get a big, cool production, I would definitely be interested.
Right.
And that's what Garth Brooks is.
Yeah, see, I'm not a huge country fan, okay, but I am a spectacle person, and if you've paid attention the last 20 years, whether it's friends of yours, you read stories, they say the guy puts on an amazing show, right? That it's 3 hours, it's entertaining, it's effort, it's fun. So I'm not going to probably go with the initial run, but when it gets closer – my gut tells me I might be more inclined to do it. Now, they're saying Garth Brooks to perform in the round. That's the headline. So does that tell us a little
bit? Most of his stages, though, are that way.
Yeah.
I think have always, like, it was set up in the round when he was at Target Center for, what did he do, 11 shows here?
11, I think, yep.
And also, it's something I just remembered that might play a factor. We'll see. But, you know, those million-dollar blankets they're constructing for the Final Four, which will hang over the windows and the roof.
$5 million?
Was that $5 million?
I think it is.
They said those will be in use for concerts. Maybe that'll make a difference.
They will be in okay.
My understanding is when they came up with that figure of how much it was going to cost, they said that they would be used because they're going to be reused, and they said, for concerts.
I'd like to use them in my house. I mean, you know, when it's...
5 million.
Yeah, let's go. You should retitle the Monday segment, Garth Brooks, underrated, overrated, properly rated. This person, this texter, the journey of country music. Ugh. Wow. Dave, you know us.
Well, I would say...
I can't stand
Bravo.
Journey, right? So, I think Journey's... I wish they were... sent to a different planet.
That's a little tough.
They're that awful. Garth Brooks was inspired by Kiss. Oh, God. Seriously. We tune into Guantanamo. Playing a big show. Can't wait for him. Who else is viewed now outside of Springsteen and Brooks as, even if you don't like the genre, even if you don't like the artist, the show is so good, if you really like music, at some point you should go see him. Let's pause on that one. Who are the other people in that group? Because Springsteen's had that for a long, long time, and so has Garth Brooks. By the way, is he another guy that we just call a fraud? Because hasn't he retired like 9 times? And he still keeps coming back, you know? The money.
Garth?
Yes. He for sure has stepped away.
I remember he stepped away once.
Is it just once? Seems to me it's come up a little bit more than that. Okay. Who else is in that group? That your friends or John Bream, Chris Riemann Schneider, other smart music people, my guy Jimmy Walsh say, hey, if you like music, you have to see this person. Who else is in that group? Where is this on karaoke songs?
Way up there.
It's got to be top 10, right? Dave, would you say top 10 karaoke song?
Oh, yeah, between this and what, Living on a Prayer?
Carter, what were your two tunes? Yeah.
Kenny Rogers' Ruby.
Right. Oh,
I don't think I did it that night.
No, you did
That's
not
That's one
do
of
Ruby.
My go-tos.
You had a...
what did I say?
Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Suspicious Mind.
Suspicious
That's probably
Mind.
Up there.
Yeah, that's way up there.
Stop Believing, Journey.
Oh, seriously, another jerk.
If you got the talent to pull that off.
That you have to be – well, that's up. That's where their guy – listen, when you pick a karaoke singer to replace your lead singer, what does that say about your group? Okay. Where were we again? Where were the karaoke night? Where were we at? The Olive
– Otter.
Otter. The mm-hmm. Otter. Maybe the next lead singer for Journey was at the Otter that night. Okay, people you need to see. They say you need to see this artist. Luke Bryant.
Nope.
I have not heard that. Dave?
No, I'm good, thanks.
No.
Yes, he's immensely popular, but again, I did the new modern country to me is just...
Maybe he can turn the sound down?
Yeah, and he's got a real nasally voice, too.
Jeez. I thought I was bitter today until I walked in here with you. I'm Mary Sunshine compared
We're
to you.
We're the dividers.
That's what we are. They'll be uniting 9 to noon. We'll divide, and then you'll laugh and learn. 3 to 6.
I would have said you too to this question until Adam ripped him apart.
No. The funny thing is, the best concert I've seen and the worst concert I've seen, you too.
So this last concert we saw at US Bank
That's
was the
right
worst
down
concert?
There at the bottom.
Just
yep.
because the sound was
yes.
so awful.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, you too sucks. No, I mean, it's.
Yeah.
But the TCF Bank show, easily the best concert I've ever seen. And I was with you, and that's saying so much that, I mean, you know.
I can hear you.
Company,
now.
You know.
You're
I mean,
saying this. You know this.
Thing.
You know I can hear you. Yes, we, with Rob and Kevin, two of my good friends, we illegally partied. I think the statute of limitations has passed by at the Gopher Women's softball field.
Yep.
Right? We had a party where we weren't supposed to be there. And had some good fun.
Good view up on top.
Oh, it was great, right? And then let's just say a good friend of mine did take a picture because we had brought a sampling of beer and may have left a Modelo. And so whenever I call that particular friend of mine, guess what pops up on the screen? That
Modelo,
that Modelo that we left there pops up. But this was the U2 show, which had been postponed. Bono. Bono's hurt more than Xavier Rhodes. Right?
I mean, there's bike accidents.
Something going on. So it was a year, and it was a perfect evening. It was
yes.
just so good. And then about two-thirds of the way through the show, it started raining.
The heavens opened up.
Oh,
storm, lightning and thunder and everything.
It was chaos. I know at one point I did run upstairs, and then there were so many people. Hiding them, like, no way.
No.
You got to go down in it.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It just added to, it was like a video.
Yeah.
You know, and he's singing in the rain. That is.
He actually sang Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. It was, that's a top 5 concert for me. That is for sure. Somebody's saying Barry Manilow. Copacabana.
Mandy.
No, I'm not, Dave.
Nah.
Closet Barry Manilow fan?
I mean, it's the hottest spot north of Havana, but no. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Vegas, though. How would you see Barry Manilow Vegas if you had the opportunity?
Come on down to the Flamingo.
Yeah, why not? Why
is
not?
Barry okay health-wise? It seems like I've...
He's had a lot of work done. I know that.
Oh, he had a lot of work done when he was in his 20s, it seemed like. Lady Gaga, I would like to see Lady Gaga. I don't know if she's that high in the list, but now she's going to Vegas, and she has a run out there. She has to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? The official restaurateur of the show, Mr. Dermot Cowley, one night said, "What are you doing?" "Nothing." And said, "Would you want to go see Pink?" I'm like, "He goes, come down, have some beers." And then I went. She was amazing.
The acrobatics.
And you want to talk about a diehard crowd that believes in the star. I got to believe the Pinkologists are up there. Regis. Can you try to track down Regis Philbin for us?
Sure.
Yeah. Where would we try now? Is he doing anything?
What is Regis up to? I have no idea.
Yeah. We did have him on legitimately, not just the Carter spoof, but have him on a day when Adam wasn't here. Do you still have that soundbite somewhere?
Where
I ask him about, you know, you, and he's like, "Where is that guy? I want to talk to him right now." It was Regis doing Regis, but he was really good. For peer music, the Eagles.
Ugh.
Eagles,
though, it's like I always want to say I don't like them, but they got
a lot of tunes that I do like. I think because I watched that, do we call it a rockumentary? If it's all about a rock and roll rockumentary.
Go and do that.
And they just came off so awful. Glenn Frey Don Henley, just horrible human beings.
Well, actually, the worst was the Don Felder. He was the worst.
And also how stunningly beautiful Linda Ronstadt. I mean,
yes,
breathtaking. Kiss, I have.
That's the one that I was thinking of because I was a huge Kiss fan.
I got two Kiss shows in me.
And they're on their farewell tour now, which apparently will probably last 5 years.
Exactly.
But that's one that I think I need to get to and see Kiss.
It was Hunt's 50th birthday party. And a bunch of us went to Kiss. And I think it was like seven couples, eight couples, something like that. And he encouraged people to dress up. One individual dressed up. A female, an attractive female in the tight black outfit and everything. Let's just say the guys in the couples were trying not to pay attention. And I got to feel the gals were noticing how much the guys might have been paying attention. Carter, are you willing to get suited up to see Kiss?
You know what? If I could get like three other dudes to do it, for sure.
Do you have to be a dude?
But if I could get like the full costume, which I might regret by the second half of the show. But
you're going to need to have a buzz going, right?
I don't think so.
You think you can do that?
Oh yeah,
just straight as can be.
The 7-inch riser shoes, the cod piece.
There's no way. No way you're going to be part of that event without a little more than a buzz going on. I love the Eagles. Be nice. Metallica, U2, and Mannheim Steamroller.
Together, one night only.
Only. That sounds like a show that we would be banging right here on CCO, right?
Mannheim Steamroller?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Well, aren't they big around Christmas time?
Right now?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yes.
Along with Regis, let's get Mannheim Steamroller in studio.
All of them.
Chris Week. Of course, Chris Week.
In studio Christmas concert? Week.
Yes.
Yes. Take over the full 3 hours of the Chad Show.
How many make up the Steamroller? What do we sense?
That's got to be, I'm going to say, 24.
Dave, can we get 24 here in the room?
They could probably have multiple dozen and just switch out shows.
We'll go to the Cambridge.
One guy, Mannheim Steamroller.
I am the roller.
He is just Mr. Steamroller when he walks
in. Jerry Mannheim. Nice to meet you.
All right. More people you have to see. And maybe you were told you had to see them, and they didn't live up to it at all. 81807, concert-wise, we're talking. Playing politics in about 10 minutes. Thursday, December 17th. They're back. Mr. Steamroller, little Mannheim Steamroller there. Pre-plane crash, Leonard Skinner. Best show I've ever seen. When was the plane crash, by the way? Can we Google that?
74?
I was going to say 75 right there. Saw Van Halen with David Lee Roth the last time they were here. They played Jump. Now, didn't they come back? Did David Lee Roth come back like for like a year or so after Sammy Hagar? Didn't they like bounce back and forth?
Yeah, they were back. Yeah. Yes, they went back to David Lee Roth. And then just in the last couple of years, they played Jimmy Kimmel Live. And it was the original lineup of Van Halen.
It is David?
Yes.
And Sammy Hagar, what is the booze he made?
Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo.
Tequila.
It's not quite the George Clooney bill, but it's an enormous figure, right? Did you see the plane crash?
77.
Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman. Ooh. And the texter says, not kidding. All right.
Musicianship.
Let's go. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, that is in my top 10 music regrets that I didn't see him, because I love Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I was just foolish that I just didn't do that. Concerts to see Timberlake, T-Swift, Boston Pops Orchestra. I think of the Boston Pops Orchestra tied to 4th of July, right? Timberlake, does it count?
I think of Boston tied to T-Birds and tight jeans and...
Stop talking.
Well, la-dee-da.
Does it count if I went to the Super Bowl and saw Timberlake?
No.
That does not count as a concert? 20 minutes?
Can't give it to you.
Yeah.
Close.
Bobby Vinton, best musical talent ever. Adam Carter?
Bobby Vinton. Mm-hmm. Is that Blue on Blue? Heartache on Heartache?
I don't know. I need to see Iron Maiden. Would you go see Iron Maiden?
Yes.
I'd like to see Iron Maiden for like 30. Do I got to stay the whole show? I don't know if I want to crank out 2.5 hours of the Maiden, you know?
Play the hits.
Yeah, I mean, let's go. Let's just get to it. Paul McCartney. Yes, lucky enough to see Paul McCartney a couple of years ago. My neighbor, who's obsessed with Bon Jovi, Bill, who basically keeps my house alive, has prevented me from blowing up the house in the neighborhood. He and his beautiful wife, Heidi, they love Bon Jovi. I have not had a chance to see the Jove. Carter, you have not seen Bon Jovi?
I have
not
seen Bon Jovi.
How about Tony Bennett? I'd like to. Is Tony still worth seeing? I'd still see Tony Bennett. Bob Marley at Northrop 1981.
What if it was pungent at all in Northrop Auditorium?
That guy is still high right now.
You know who I saw at Northrop Auditorium? Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson?
Yeah, it's great.
The last show I saw at Northrop was Van Morrison. And I'm forgetting what member of his band didn't come in time. And lucky enough, hold on a second here.
Well, la-dee-da.
Had some real good seats, so we were down low. Van Morrison, Carter, yelling, absolutely yelling at a member of his band while other members were playing. So Van's reputation as a fun-loving guy lived up to it.
The Belfast Cowboy.
The Stones. Yeah, well, here's what you do when you go see the Stones. You get your iPad out.
Yep.
And you just shoot it all for your cheapskate buddy at home. Elton John in 78 or 79 with all the costumes. That'd be pretty good. I bet I've seen Elton a half dozen times. Elton lives up to it every time. And he's coming here, is it January, February? When is he coming?
It's early next year, farewell tour, right?
Yeah. Billy Joel one time for me and was significantly better than I expected. Because it was with Elton, and I went for Elton, and Billy Joel was great. Santana. Ooh, this person saw Amy Winehouse at Coachella.
Mm.
That would be awesome. Grateful Dead. at a bar in Amsterdam in 1981.
Wow.
50 people attended. Oh, speaking.
This is the same guy who saw Marley at the North video.
Oh.
Now I'm positive this guy was smelling some pungent things.
Oh, that is.
I saw the Dead's last show. Not good.
Not good?
No, it was Jerry was in rough shape.
Yes.
He's dead a month later.
Yeah. And they're still occasionally out on the road, right?
Dead and Company with John Mayer.
Mm-hmm. And you liked it, right?
I'd go see them in a heartbeat.
33 past one. Plain Politics coming up in a matter of moments.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's time once again for Playing Politics, partnership between the Star Tribune editorial board today, represented by John Rash and DJ Tice. Chad Hartman here from WCCO Radio. DJ, I will start with you. We have celebrated and honored the full and complete life of George Bush since the news came out Friday evening. What stood out to you about people remembering the president before today, and then what stood out to you today about the funeral itself?
Well, of course, today we get the full pageantry of a state funeral with the whole President's Club getting together, including the President Trump, who's a little bit of the skunk at that garden party, I guess. But that in itself, brings together the most powerful figures in American life, and of course, all the rest. Figures from Bush's life and from around the world. So today is really the grand day of that national pageantry. And I think the whole period of aftermath of a president's death is a refreshing opportunity these days, for the country to have a moment of unity and relative goodwill. And we certainly can use it these days.
Yes,
and this president in particular, seems to bring that fairly easily to the surface because he was a gentleman in many respects. And, of course, he is an exemplar of the greatest generation,
yes,
which is very fast now vanishing in front of our eyes, but that Americans have a very special place in their heart for. And he's a great example of the extraordinary life experiences that those folks had, but the very sort of ordinary virtues that so many of them shared, that sense of duty to country and family and the modesty that went with it.
Well stated. John?
Today was all about the loss of a great man, but I think that the days before then, as many seem to be mourning the loss of a great era. Both in terms of, as DJ so eloquently just stated, the greatest generation and the degree of rectitude that so many of them carried from very young years, when they came of age, in the fires of World War II and the Great Depression, through their lives of public service. And I think in these deeply divisive times, a lot of people look back at the way that generation approached politics. Certainly there were disagreements. There were disputes, but there was an extraordinary degree of unanimity on the overall objectives of the United States, and particularly how the United States should project and protect its interests and values in the world. And that seems to be a subject of extraordinary discussion right now. So a lot of people look back, particularly how President George H.W. Bush presented the United States on stage, so deeply believed in alliances and friendships, and often had the two intertwined, as represented by the former Canadian Prime Minister Mulroney, who was at the state funeral today as well, and perhaps yearning for a time where we can return back to that type of togetherness as a nation.
So let's stay with that, DJ, on the togetherness and the relationships. A lot is revisited again on his famous words at the ADA convention, read my lips, no new taxes, sure. And then a couple of years later, realizing the numbers in front of him, the change. Now, supporters will say, let's not forget how much he slowed down the growth of government. that was tied together with that, and that Bill Clinton benefited a great deal from that in the 90s with an economic resurgence. And, you know, it seems like from Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, now Donald Trump, there is so much disdain among parties, so much lack of trust. President Trump has taken that further, but to act like this wasn't going on before him is just is pure folly. Is there a realistic scenario where we're going to have another president soon or another important leader, a senator of significant stature, who can bring more of that to it? Or is that just a long, long way in our past and maybe a long, long way ahead in our future?
Well, yeah, I've given up predicting the future in the Trump era. I think it would almost be surprising if we didn't go, you know, retreat to a little calmer and more measured kind of political life. But do we get all the way back? I don't know. So many things have changed. You know, a lot of people would probably point to the 88 election that brought George H.W. Bush into the White House as a very important for turning us toward a harsher and more bare-knuckled kind of politics. There was, of course, the famous Willie Horton ad. Now, Bush is well known for having resisted negative politics, but he finally surrendered to it as a practical necessity.
He listened
if he wanted to be president.
He listened to Lee Atwater. Yep. He listened to Roger Ailes. And he went with one of the ultimate racial dog whistle ads that we've seen.
And, you know, so the forces that have created a lot of this harsher political environment, you know, go back a ways, well before Donald Trump was in the political scene. And so it's a little hard to imagine that we get all the way back to, you know, what's really funny is to go back to like the Nixon-Kennedy debates. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever done this, but they'll put them on cable every once in a while. And they spend most of the debate agreeing with each other.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with what the senator had to say.
It sounded a lot like 16. It didn't sound like 16 in with the Republicans amongst themselves or Hillary and Bernie Sanders.
So, you know, do we get all the way back? No, but let us hope that it is possible to reclaim a little bit of the more civilized you know, the sense that we are all Americans first.
Mm-hmm. John, I want you to chime in on that, but I'm reacting to text, too, where – and there are many Bush supporters who still believe this, that if Ross Perot does not jump into the race, in and out of the race, that George Herbert Walker Bush defeats Bill Clinton. I watched a very good short vignette that was put out a couple of years ago by 538, which reminded us that the exit polling in 92 for Perot voters was this. 38% said they would have voted for George Bush if he wasn't in the race. 38% said they would have voted for Bill Clinton. And 24% said they wouldn't vote. Now, we don't know what quantity we can affix to 6 months of basically hammering George Herbert Walker Bush over and over again. But that's not as given as a lot of people think. What about you talk all the time? We have this debate. I want to believe in the middle still. I want to believe in getting things done. Do you still believe in that as much as you did 4 years ago, 8 years ago?
I certainly think it's possible. We look back at this era of George Herbert Walker Bush and some of his contemporaries, Republicans and Democrats, and they were forged by extraordinary times that, of course, none of us and all the listeners don't want to return to. A world war, a Great Depression, truly earth-shattering events. And so it shouldn't take that to get back to a nation that can work closer together. But we do look back at that era, and that might have been an almost ahistorical time when you think of how tumultuous this nation's history has been. But that being said, we're also due for another significant generational shift on the presidential, but even congressional level. We certainly saw some of that with the surge of young candidates, including here in Minnesota, who were elected to the next Congress. And a really striking statistic out this morning in terms of the age of presidents, and remarkably, Presidents Clinton, George Bush, as well as Donald Trump, were born within 3 months of each other in 1946. And so, you know, we have had these early baby boomers dominating the scene for years, interrupted a bit by a later baby boomer in terms of Barack Obama.
Yep.
But I think that very soon, And by soon, I mean in the next few weeks as we turn to Iowa and as many of the dozens of potential Democratic candidates begin to try to line up their campaigns and the campaign operatives, we're also going to be seeing some generational dynamics play out where especially many Democrats want to turn the page and turn towards a younger candidate. Some certainly are looking at Beto O'Rourke, the nearly successful Senate candidate out of Texas. But, you know, I think that younger people may want to do things a bit differently than their parents or grandparents' age did, and so we might get back to less contentious politics.
I think, you know, the sooner we can get the baby boom, of which I am a member, I want to hasten to add, the sooner we can get the baby boom off the stage, the sooner we will return.
Are you announcing
to
your
more
retirement?
Calm and
we don't want to completely.
I think that would help a lot,
frankly,
move us on. And, you know, the nursing homes will be in flames in no time. But.
Well, let's talk about somebody who is closer in age to Barack Obama than in Donald Trump, Amy Klobuchar. John, I'll go to you first. Amy Klobuchar is tantalizing a little more than before. She's on with Chris Matthews yesterday, and she says this. There's going to be a lot of people running. I do think it is important that there are people running from the Midwest. I am considering it. She had an interview with George Stephanopoulos a few weeks before where the words were, you know, a little less. This is a little bit more. I also thought it was pretty telling. New York Times had a long story about Klobuchar a couple weeks ago, and it pointed out some of the criticism towards Amy that she's the senator of, like, consumer affairs, that she hasn't been involved in enough big controversial issues. She pushed back on it. And also, I think it was one of the first times I saw in print where people talked about the reputation that Amy has as a boss, because she has had a lot of turnover, right? A lot of turnover in that office. And that part of Amy Klobuchar hasn't come up an awful lot. And that would be new. Some of those items would be new to a lot of the national markets when they're learning more about her.
It will indeed come out. Everything comes out when people run for president. I think the comments that she's had on some of these national talk shows are about as close to any candidate has or will have to announcing at this point. But she and many others realize that they had better jump in far sooner rather than later for multiple reasons, including the fact that they have to line up operatives in Iowa. Now, she'll have a leg up on that should she decide to run for president because of her. She's an incredibly popular politician from a neighboring state, and you know she is would be a formidable candidate in by anyone's account, which is partly why the New York Times took a close look at her. So my sense is that she will jump in. She will be taken quite seriously. I would not underestimate her chances, but you also may have dynamics such as former Vice President Joe Biden, who gets in, you know, with an extraordinary resume, somewhat more similar to former President George H.W. Bush, who we began the conversation with in terms of being a vice president 8 years, former presidential candidate, senator for decades as well. You may have the aforementioned Beto O'Rourke jump in, and Michael Bloomberg, with more money than anyone, even beyond Donald Trump, has been able to bring to a campaign. Absolutely. And so, you know, there will be a crowded field of candidates, but some of those advantages may crowd some off the stage. But I think that Amy Klobuchar is going to get a hearing should she jump in.
Doug, let me do this. Let me just try to get to Robert Mueller
and
General Flynn here before we run out of time, because it was last night when the information came out from Robert Mueller. A lot of it was redacted, right? A lot of information about what we'd really like to hear, what he's saying from 19 separate interviews with General Flynn was not there. He did say that the general has provided them substantial help. He is recommending no prison. But for a lot of people, they looked at this and said, okay, what else does this mean? What information has Flynn, when he's been cooperating to the point of substantial help, what information is he providing?
Well, of course, we don't know the answer to that, but it is scintillating to learn that, obviously, to Mueller, there was something in it that was exceedingly valuable and worth his giving this kind of consideration. So it will be very powerful to find out. And, of course, we're going to get other pieces with Manafort and Cohen in the days ahead.
Yep.
And, you know, soon, according to what are apparently reliable sources, the investigation may wrap up and we'll find out what's there.
John, what do you think? We got about a minute to go.
That I concur with DJ that we are going to find out sooner rather than later. This may dominate Congress and the aforementioned presidential campaign, particularly if it gets close to President Trump's family members and the president himself. But, you know, I think that the note that they forwarded regarding General Flynn was extraordinary and suggests not just in terms of the Russian collusion investigation, but other investigations that, you know, he may have proved quite valuable as well. So, you know, to the degree that he gets closer to completing this, it may also take, you know, the heat off Acting Attorney General Whitaker and the whole Senate component, because they may all realize that very soon there's going to be the definitive report.
We got to end right there. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Let's pause right here on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.